little company would come. I would have to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All righty. It is Saturday, April 13th, 2024, and time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday and wonderful weekend. Tonight's episode is episode number 70 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener. Five. So we're very happy to have Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener back with the Snack Shack tonight. And a quick shout out to the Rebel Madman, Mr. Mike Gaddy, and the delightful Mrs. Q, who I was on with earlier this afternoon for our second Saturday of the month Blackballed Spook Show. We had a lot of fun with that. Started out with Cato's letters, or Cato the Younger, and then went into full-blown what really happened in the U.S. Uncivil War. So be sure to check that out later in the archives. And a honeybee told me that Mrs. Q might be having a new show of her own coming up on the RBN Sunday lineup soon, so be sure to keep your eyes peeled for that. I'll be posting it in the chat room. Now, tonight's returning guest is Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener, the host of RBN Saturday Morning Thought Crime Live Show from 9 until 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and is one of the regulars down there at Dixie Republic in Traveler's Rest, South Kakalaki. And he definitely had a barn burner of a show this morning. I was able to actually sit and enjoy a cup of coffee and listen to his show. And he had guests from South Africa and Alabama, and they were noticing all kinds of patterns while I was sitting there drinking my morning coffee and listening to the wind. So be sure to check that one out. Now, for the newbies, we'll be opening up the phone lines at the bottom of the hour break so you can call in and tell us what you want to talk about. We also might be having Mr. Casey Whalen call in. He's going to try to call in, no promises, but if he can swing it. But he is up to his eyeballs in what's going on in Idaho with the craziness in the woke Idaho. I mean, talk about a stab in the heartland of America. Pick Idaho. Send all your best cultural Marxists there to destroy the indigenous population by increments, right? So he might be able to call in, but they're having not only the women's basketball fiasco that we were talking about, but also this sheriff, constitutional sheriffs, and this Jewish NGO group that's going after this Constitutional Sheriffs Association. So big stories. But anyway, so we'll be opening up the phone lines after the bottom of the hour break. And so if you want to call in and tell us what you want to talk about, you can call in at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or toll free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And as always, you can come out to bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That is the show chat room. And we have the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips on independent living. So to check it out, come out to bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. The sun never sets on the North Kakalaki Trading Post chat room, but if you're looking for a knife fight, we'd just as soon you go somewhere else. Now, I wonder what Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener wants to talk about tonight. The weather? We here on Blackjack Mountain have had a doozy of a time this past week with rain and winds, lots of high winds, the kind of high winds that knock big trees over, and the kind of drenching rains that makes it easy to blow big trees over. So we even had parts of the county that had roads shut down due to fallen trees and rock slides and mudslides. But we made it out here on Blackjack Mountain okay, but I don't think any of us got much sleep night before last. That old wind monster was making all kinds of fuss up here in this mountain holler, shaking the house and blowing the furniture are around on the porches. How rude. Now, the elk report, the official North Kakalaki elk spotter, EX96 report. That's Echo X-Ray 96 reporting. No elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date. Repeat, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain to date. Now, we did see a turkey vulture get into it with our crows over rites of salvage for the Easter ham bone that we put up on the crow stone at the far end of the property. For the crows, or if you know, they didn't want it, then Opie the Possum or the Raccoon Raiders gang, which is Winkin', Blinkin', Nod, and Ralph. Hard to tell Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod apart, but Ralph's pretty easy because he has no raccoon tail left, which he apparently lost in one of his raids. But they all said they haven't seen any elk either, but the vulture did end up with the ham bone. This concludes the North Kakalaki Wildlife Resource Commission elk spotter transmission. Or maybe he'll want to weigh in on the big ongoing Watauga County debate on which was more hateful, angry black man from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones, going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white drivers in his semi-tractor-trailer truck in New Boone, echo, 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 or some kid waving a swastika flag near the Carpetbagger Chicken Swinger Synagogue of Satan Clubhouse. Or maybe he wants to talk about the recent stabbing at App State University. Yes, apparently Mr. Emmett Cardwell, 20 of Durham, North Carolina, was arrested and charged with the felony crime of assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury. And because he appears to be white, the out-of-state chicken swinger-owned Watauga Democrat definitely plastered his picture on the front page, which they rarely do when it's criminals of color. The stabbing victim's identity remains secret and no motive has been given. While random stabbings are just part and parcel of living in a vibrant, diverse, multicultural community like London or New Boone, North Kakalaki, we locals don't want to be too quick to judge. After all, App State Jezebel Everts could reveal to us that the stabbing victim had misgendered someone from the Mountaineer LGBTQ PC community and deserved to be stabbed by an ally. We're still waiting to hear a motive and the rest of the scene. Or maybe he wants to talk about the Globo Homo travel piece by former Australian celebrity pretty boy sports ball player and rootless cosmopolitan Greg McPeace on the town of New Boone that went viral national this week, where all he lists are woke businesses owned by carpetbagger chicken swingers, and made absolutely no mention of the signature summer attraction of Old Boone at the Daniel Boone Theater. Yes, I'm talking about the epic outdoor drama Horn in the West. It was interesting that when all these carpetbagger community organizers were trying to recruit me back in 2012, I discovered that they were all at war with the Horn in the West at every level and were trying to get it shut down because it represented a stain of colonialism and glorified white people. And apparently Globo Homo travel god Craig McPeace agrees that the Horn in the West should be shunned by his woke, fake, and gay tourist audience. Or maybe he'll want to talk about Judas Goat Franklin Graham, the face of Samaritan's Purse, going to Auschwitz to see the piles of shoes, you know, like Elon had to do a couple of times, while he continues to support Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu's genocide in Gaza and of the Armenian Christians in the West Bank, even if they want to start World War III by attacking Iran until it responds. Have Franklin Graham or Father Billy Graham ever met a war for world Zionism that they do not fully support? Based on sound biblical teachings, of course. Or maybe he'll want to talk about the Confederate History Month and all those hate facts about what was really going on with Abraham Lincoln and Karl Marx. Or maybe he'll want to talk about how Rhino House Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, showed his true colors by casting the deciding vote to extend the unconstitutional FISA Electronic Surveillance Act until 2016. That Unit 8200 NSA gift to America, put in place before 9/11 but was justified by 9/11, that just keeps on giving. And by that I mean giving all your raw data to Israel so you can be graded, sorted, and culled. Or maybe he'll want to talk about whether or not World War III is going to start tonight when Iran retaliates against Israel, our gosh darn greatest ally and pal in the whole world, according to Judas Goat's John Hagee and Franklin Graham. Or maybe will we have to wait for the red heifers to be ritually slaughtered by learned chicken swinger high priest Cohen, never kissed a girl, Cohen? Or maybe he'll just want to talk about fishing. So welcome back to the Snack Shack, Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener, and tell us, good sir, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Well, howdy, Blackbird. Thanks for inviting me back again. First thing I wanted to talk about was the Dixie Republic. I brought up the flyer for the event that's going to be there next Saturday night. You don't mind if I go over that second, do you, sir?
Oh, please. And shout out to all the Dixie Republic folks listening.
That's in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. It's at 1315 Highway 25, Travelers Rest, South Carolina. I was by there not too long ago. I saw Johnny Reb. You can get a custom host leather work done there too, and then go to DixieRepublic.com, support our advertisers. But the Dixie Strong Arm Contest will be there next Saturday, 4/20/2024, April 20th, 2024, and there's a $1,200 reward. Weigh-ins at 4, the event starts at 6. There's a $40 entry fee, okay, as first, second, and third place winners, and either 200 and above are 100 up to 199, and then 200 and above. It's all right arm only. Each match is best 2 out of 3 double elimination tournament. And, you know, that's all the details. You weigh in starting at 4 and the event starts at 6. And it was, you know, about a year ago that I think April 15th last year, that 2023, they had one. And this is, you know, it's always a good time. It says beer, food, and mead will be available. And I had some mead the last, at the, Fall for Dixie, and that stuff was delicious. So anybody who's in the neighborhood of Travelers Rest, South Carolina, next Saturday, y'all stop by and enjoy that. And thanks for letting me do that. That's, we've actually sat and had coffee together, you and I, in the Confederate Corner there, hadn't we, sir?
That is a true statement, a couple of times. And it is, I love going there and doing shows there. That's a lot of fun. So definitely, if you get a chance, check them out.
Yep, and beyond that, I was up trying to hammer a piece of side, and it was blowing off. You mentioned the weather last night. The really wind whipped through here, too, but I think that, you know, what you mentioned, I spent a little time in Pisgah, but I haven't been up to Boone but once or twice. But it getting higher up like that, it would happen, you know. The wind is always a lot stronger, and it's cool up there. I mean, I love to go up there to visit, but I don't know, man. It would seem strange to me to live up there all the time. I bet it is interesting.
We are in an interesting little microcosm here on the north face of Blackjack Mountain at about 4,000 feet. And on one side of the mountain is the new river, you know, it's the intercoastal divide. So, you know, one side of the mountain, all the stuff goes down to the new river. The other side of the mountain, it all goes down to the Yadkin River and to the greater and lesser PD rivers, right? And so you get these two weather fronts that are just constantly battling each other as the storms come up those river valleys into the mountains. Mm-hmm. And when I first washed up here, I thought all the old timers were putting me on about what the winters were like up here until, you know, you go through it a couple of times and realize, you know, yeah, this is what high winds, this is what a blizzard is. And, you know, this stuff will kill you. Amazing that these people came into these, you know, this wilderness and carved out this wonderful civilization that now is being taken away from them.
But, ain't it the truth? I agree. And you had to be pretty tough to make it up that way, you know. That's why a lot of them are the Highlanders that settled it, the Scots and Irish too. That's always been one of the Highland Games will be coming up around here not too long from now. I used to always enjoy that too. I haven't been there in a while.
Yes, going up to the Highland Games is a peak event in the summer. Yeah, and they shut that down during the COVID 9/11 craze. Uh-huh. That's right. But one of the things about the weather up here in the high country is it's a force multiplier against the diversity, because all these equatorial people that are flooding in, you know, they're fine during the summer, but as soon as they hit that first blizzard storm, they are out of here. And it's interesting to try to get the attrition numbers at Appalachian State University of all the, you know, no matter how much money they throw at them to come up here, they, you know, it's like everything's uphill, it's hard, I don't like it, and it's cold, I'm leaving. You people are crazy up here. So you just have this huge turnover in all this diversity student population up here, which they always try to hide. They actually had to install sag wagons on campus in an attempt to try to convince all the, you know, people that don't like walking up hills both ways to stay, you know, at the school. And so they were actually paying people to drive these lazy people around campus because they didn't want to walk. So that was pretty funny. Our tax dollars at work,
right? Your tax dollars at work. There you go. That's yeah, it's that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but that would make a lot of people, fresh immigrants from near the equator, but they would want to leave. I can imagine how that would really be shocking to someone who came from, say, Liberia or whatever, you know, or you know, wherever, Central Africa there, where it's all, and then be up there in the winter. What a shock, you know. It'd be a shock to me to try, I guess, to do the opposite. I hate the muggy, hot summer that never goes away. I'd hate it at the equator, man. I would. That reminds me of being in Charleston, you know, and down in the tropics. And I could go visit it, but I wouldn't want to live there. That's just it's just too humid for me, you know. I don't know. Oh, I guess I'm a creature of where I was raised here in Dark Corner. I'm this Dark Corner hillbilly. It's the only place I've ever really been much. I never made it out of Dixie except in my head or, you know, online. Yeah, that's just the honest truth.
Well, what was interesting when I was a child, my mother's family's from Louisiana, right? And mm-hmm. we would go down during the summers down around New Iberia. And you would think North Carolina was hot and humid until you spend a summer in the humidness of those swamps down in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And then when I, you know, in my professional career, used to have to do a lot of stuff in the islands. And you know, you just get closer and closer to the equator. And it's like, this is miserable. I do not need to be here. I want to go place where it's cooler than down here. You know, so it's definitely... you know, we're different. You know, it's a race reality. So,
yep, I agree with it.
You know,
yep.
We are different. Well, I just got word from Mr. Casey Whalen. He apologizes, but he's not going to be able to make it this week. But he promises he'll try to make it for next week. So we're going to hold him to that. So it's just going to be you and me, partner. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, we could talk about Idaho for a minute if you wanted to. Casey was on with a sheriff guy, and I mean, they come in after those people. That's ridiculous. They, all these laws that they're passing, they're going to be coming at. I'm surprised they haven't come after us. I saw this FBI agents knocking on a guy's door in San Diego, and I lost the video. I wish I could find it, but he recorded them, and they refused to talk to him while he's recording, and then maybe they purged the video or something. But you know, they wanted to talk about somebody he met online, and that's just ridiculous. You know why? What? It just seems like people can get targeted for their opinion now. The hate crimes in Scotland and stuff, where they're spending more time looking into that. And so, of course, real actual violent crime and rape, murder, and robbery, that's skyrocketing. They know nobody to try to solve that. You know, we got to, and just like you said, there's often a racial component to that stuff, too. We were talking about that stuff earlier today with how we're trending toward South Africa, too. That's a sad reality. I mean, you can feel like there's a target on my back sometimes, you know, when I look at the media and what's going on around me more than when I'm out in public so much, because, you know, it's still, you know, I haven't seen as much of that around here, but we are in the minority. I haven't seen people get anti-white. I ain't seen any, heard of anybody around here playing the knockout game and stuff, but who knows, you know, that's the kind of reality is coming. And I think it'll get worse. I don't know. It just seems like that's baked in the cake. And about the war, okay, you mentioned where we're going. Who knows, man, but they want more. I know that they've factored that in, that they're going to ramp something up. Who knows what? It's just – and that really infuriates me, too. They got no brake buttons on that, too. That's been on my mind a lot, too. Sorry, Frederick. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, it's that classic Marxist problem reaction solution formula, where at every level they are creating these synthetic events out of nothing, and they've already got their legislation written that they want to ram through in the fog of war. You know, it's like, okay, yep, we're going to stage this thing, and we've already got this stuff written that we want to pass. And so it's going to be conveniently here. You don't get to read it. You get to vote on it, just like, you know, after 9/11, we had the Patriot Act. And it's all about how to make the legal illegal. And I'm always reminded of the, you know, the Bolshevik terror mastermind of Beria, you know, Vernonti Beria. You know, he said, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. This is Star Chamber Justice, where it's like you aren't with the program, therefore you're a targeted individual. Now, who are you? And we're going to start digging until we find something. And we're going to go through all your social media posts. We're going to go through, you know, this is the whole thing of having that whole database that, you know, Noah Harari is always talking about. You know, it's easy to conquer a country if you have the data, because you can pick off all your possible opposition, you know, one by one. This is what the targeted individual strategy is all about. And, you know, to see what they did in Boone, because I still say that that whole swastika flag thing was staged, because that week at the meeting, you just had all this synthetic, you know, oh, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in Boone. You know, this kid waved a flag near a synagogue. Oh, the horror, the humanity. And they had this five-page proclamation that they passed unanimously, you know, that was basically the, you know, declaration of the universal Holocaust narrative, whatever, you know, worded into it, but just making all these proclamations about this myth of Israel and Jews and Zionism, and basically putting the whole town under a spell that if anybody, you know, violates any of these things, we can now come after you. Right. And to see that happen in Idaho with this, you know, flaming Jewish homosexual philanthropist, who's the guy who reports it to the sheriff's department. And then you find out that, oh, they just happen to have all this hate crime legislation ready to go that they're, you know, just running with. And then suddenly people like Casey Whalen are pointing out that this is another, you know, Bubba Wallace, another Jesse Smollett. But, you know, that whole thing of, you know, just, you know, say it happened and Mockingbird Media will run with it. And then we pass all these, you know, laws that are just completely running roughshod over the Constitution. And they're doing that at every level. That's the thing. It's like from the federal level down to your local, you know, school board meetings. You know, they're having, you know, events that they can pass this Marxist agenda. And I'm against it.
And I'm against it, too. And I think that it was baked in the Constitution to begin with, too, from the time that they replace the Articles of Confederation with that. And then the first Bolshevik Revolution down here in the South, you know, is Confederate History Month. You mentioned that again earlier, too. That's something that I've been paying a lot of attention to recently. And Reconstruction, too. You know, Wade Hampton's, you got to be steady and not go off half-cocked kind of thing. He was kind of slow and steady to respond, slow to war. He didn't sign the secession document, but after we were under the boot, you know, there was the things that happened right there in 1876 here. They were ready to storm. They're just about to go back to war, basically, but they calmed down and they avoided a provocation there at the Capitol when this happened. I forgot the date it was, but that's something I've been interested in since I was a kid. They used to be this book in the library, Ray Hampton in his red shirts. It was like 50 years after the events were published in a book in a newspaper, and then they put them in a book, and that was, I read that when I was a kid, so, and I didn't catch the real import of it when I was a lot younger, and now I'm living in a similar time, it seems to me, that they're coming after us again, you know, and this time it's like the USSA is here. Now, this is what it was like there. It echoes over and over again, but it's like if you're a white guy, a straight white guy, and you tell the truth, then you got a target on your back. And that's just the sad fact. And, you know, you're a hater just for loving your own people these days. That's the inversion of reality. It infuriates me.
Right, and then you look at people like the Weather Underground, that they were talking about this, that, Yeah, those, you know, white people, those Celtic, Scot-Irish and English and French and German that are in those Appalachian mountains, they will not be converted over to Marxist doctrine. We can't convert them. So they're always going to be a threat to us. So we just have to have a means to round them up and eliminate them, take their children away from them. And, you know, they can be re-educated if we get them young enough. But the parents just have to be, you know, put in camps and dealt with. I mean, this is, you know, Bill Ayers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Saul Alinsky, yeah, that was these the same people that did the Bolshevik horror, the Holodomor, the Armenian genocide. And like you said, yeah, I'm convinced now, after unlearning so much I learned about the uncivil war, that it was indeed the Bolshevik Revolution. Yeah, we had it here first.
Well, I guess you call it Marxist then, but still, exactly. I agree with that completely. And I now lost my train of thought there. But when that happened, what's happening now? Instead of rounding our people that believe in this or have racial loyalty or cultural loyalty to that time and that culture, they're waiting for us, like you said, they can take the kids, and then they'll end up the nursing home will be the one. They'll eliminate people with the shot and all that, and the hot, you know, that's where the camp is. They're doing away with us in that regard too, giving people the jab and all that, instead of literally rounding people up and putting them in a gulag, although they're doing that too. Look at January 6th, and there'll probably be a lot more of that in the future too. I expect some another engineered event, the way they threw Charlottesville at the Trump presidency, which, you know, I see no political solutions, but, you know, that whole thing was a big psyop and one after the other, just leading up to a different crescendo now, and who knows what it is. I guess that was Gaza and the fires and the, you know, just the obvious genocide that's happening here, the fall of the empire with the bridges crumbling and all that stuff. I mean, these people are a stupid. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's not the only thing, but that's happening too. And it just seems like everything, like a snowball running down a hill, and it's going to crush all the white people underneath it. that's what seems to be happening. And we got to get out of the way of that thing somehow. I don't know. Some of us anyway, the remnant does. There got to be somebody left. You know, I guess just talking about it is one way to help preserve our people.
Well, that's the thing I enjoyed so much about your show this morning was, you know, seeing, you know, what's going on in South Africa and then your view of what's happening, you know, locally there in South Carolina and then what's going on in Alabama. And it's the same cookie cutter strategy that they're using. And so this is a racial war at a global level. Yeah, this is an existential battle, and this is what we have to get our head around, that this is so far beyond, you know, Republican Democrat talking points. You know, that we are way beyond fixing this problem with a ballot box. And, you know, just you're talking about the died suddenly vaccine deaths. You know, we have an astronomical number of sudden deaths when they shut down this whole county. And a lot of that came from the Watauga Democrat pressure, the NGO that bought up our medical system, the hospitals here, and the Appalachian State University under Jezebel Edwards. Anyway, you are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. Our guest is Stephen Douglas Whitener. We'll be back after these messages.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth. Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman. It ain't got no man, 'cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
All right, we are back. You're listening to Blackbird Dine Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Trading Post this evening. Our special guest tonight is Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener, the host of the Saturday morning Thought Crime live show. And also on Sunday night, let him talk about the Rebel and the Renegade show. And please, if you still have means, please support RBN and RBN sponsors. You know, we have to keep free speech on the air because we are going up against a big monolith of lies. Mockingbird Media lies to you. We try to tell you the truth. So please support RBN. Now, if you want to call in and let us know what you want to talk about, you can call at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Or toll free 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And we have got a shout out from the chat room. Apparently, there is a dinner party going on somewhere, and folks are listening to the show trying to figure out what a chicken swinger is. So a shout out to the Whistling Dixie dinner party going on. I hope everybody's enjoying the show. So, Mr. Producer, could we please have, let's see here, who was first? Bill in Kentucky. Is Mr. Bill, are you there, sir?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everybody.
Greetings. Happy Saturday.
Yeah, I've got a minor question before I get to my more important points. What is Kakalaki? Is that a nickname for Carolina?
That is a nickname for Carolina that came about during when the railroads were coming through and the sound that the railroads would make going across Carolina, the clackety clack of the railroad tracks, and actually got into a few songs about riding trains across North Kakalaki, and it kind of became a nickname. And then I adopted it after 9/11 to talk about how my beautiful country, my beautiful state of North Carolina, was quickly going into the crapper like South Africa. And so the Kakalaki, as in Kaka. So anyway, that's where that comes from. So how's that for an answer?
Okay, you pretty well answered my question. But the more important thing, you were talking about, you know, between Iran and Israel. I think Iran has already... If I'm not mistaken, but just before I heard the news right, I heard just a regular news program a while ago that Iran has sent some drones or missiles or something that has hit Israel. So I just wonder if we're in the extremely early stages of World War III right now, if that's true.
Mr. Stephen?
I have not been following things while we've been talking here, but Iran launches drones and cruise missiles against Israel. There we go. They have launched. Yep.
So that has been launched. I knew they were prepping.
Yeah, but 5:19 p.m. they say when that started.
Okay.
So we may be in the real thing now. I mean, who knows? But
oh yeah, this could go big time hot because then it's like, okay, what is Russia going to do? What is China going to do? What are the BRICS countries going to do? So. What do you think's going to? How do you think it's going to game out, Mr. Bill?
Buddy, I'll tell you something. It's unless some saner heads prevail on both sides. You know, I shouldn't say both sides, all sides. I think we're in a hell of a world of trouble right now. I really do, man. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it.
I do too. It's bad. You know, try to make light of our situation, but it's kind of hard to make light of World War III. You know.
No.
Right. And one other thing I was going to mention, and I'll let you, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
There was, you talk about an angry black man in a truck or something. I hear you sometimes say that at the beginning of the show. There is something like that literally happened this week somewhere. Some guy in a tractor trailer, a big 18-wheeler, ran right through a DMV department.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's happening all over the place, and it... that event I talk about is, you know, an event that happened in New Boone, and I missed it by about 30 minutes, you know, because I Otma was with me. And so imagine, you know, being in a Toyota RAV4 and suddenly having a drunk, angry black man coming at you in a 18-wheeler truck. Maliciously, you know, this is total Mad Max, and they didn't charge him with any hate crimes. You know, that was the whole thing, this very liberal DA we have up here. It's like, oh, no, that wasn't hateful. You know, that was just basically, you know, they're charging him with reckless driving type of thing. And, yeah, he was just ready to kill all the white people, you know.
So that's true. I thought you were just joking when you said that.
These are hate facts, you know, just the facts, man.
And the part of Kentucky, I'm in southeast Kentucky, which means I get a little bit of news from over. I'm close enough to you guys over in North Carolina that I get a little bit of news. Like I get Johnson City, Kingsport, Bristol, you know, that Tri-Cities. I get their TV stations, which means some of that western North Carolina gets covered. I'm surprised I missed that one.
Oh, yeah, they buried it real fast once, you know, it was who it was.
I'm sorry, I wanted to say there's explosions in Tehran now, too, apparently. They're both shooting at each other now, and the doomsday. I didn't know. I should have figured Israel got a doomsday plane, just like we got all those kneecap planes. So the one there's apparently is in the air too. So you know, okay, things are up in the air right now. It's true.
All right, Mr. Bill. Anything else before we let you go?
No, I want you guys have a fantastic weekend, and I hope we're still here Monday. You get my drift.
I agree with that. Well, thanks for calling. You have
Amen.
A good weekend, and keep your powder dry. All right, Mr. Producer,
right,
we have Chance in West Virginia. Mr. Chance, are you there, sir?
Yeah, hello, BB.
Greetings, good sir. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. I'd like to make a comment about that stabbing, but hello, Stephen. Stephen, you brought back memories. Man, you ain't kidding when you talk about the humidity in Charleston. About 12 years ago, me and my ex, we spent about 5 weeks in Charleston during that Spoleto Festival.
Uh-huh.
And she lived previously for like 20 years on John's Island. So we visited John's Island, Folly Beach, James Island, and she drove me nuts. She kept turning off the air conditioner in the hotel. And it's so damn humid. This was in April, in the beginning of May down there. And because she was cold, kept turning off the air conditioner. And I said, are you freaking crazy, man? Because the humidity down in the Charleston area from midnight all the way till the sun comes up, it's terribly humid. So you just brought back some memories for me, and that was like 12 years ago. BB, about that stabbing now, right? You said they posted the picture of the assailant who was white, right?
Right.
Well, you know how I know the victim was probably white, too? Because if it was a victim of color, they would have posted his second-grade picture on the front page of the newspapers.
Right, that he was an aspiring engineer, doctor, rocket scientist. You know, he was his prime of his life, right?
With a picture of him in the second grade, probably, you know?
Right.
Yeah. All right, guys, take care now.
All right, thanks for all. You have a good weekend. All right, Mr. Producer, could we have Mr. Mike in Kentucky? Mr. Mike, are you there, sir?
Well, it's kind of weird that you're mentioning the Doomsday Plane. I was at Carter Caves. You know, I recognize the other feller's accent. I'm probably related to him somehow. But I was taking a picture of the crescent moon beside a pine tree as the sun was glinting through it. And as I was fiddling with the dang phone, it was either an Aerobus A380 or it was a Doomsday Plane. I've got to go look up on the internet while it's still working, because it was a totally white, four-engine jet, and it was not a military-looking fuselage. It was the same sort of 747 that is the Air Force One, which they have a white version of Air Force One, but they also have that so-called Doomsday Plane that has some extra little bubbles and nodes on it. Am I right?
Right. Was this tonight?
Tonight it flew out at this afternoon as I was trying to take a picture of the crescent moon straight overhead.
Wow.
Here in Kentucky.
Yeah, remember 9/11, the mysterious doomsday plane that was flying over everything?
Yeah, I couldn't see. I couldn't get my camera to focus on it. I tried to take a picture, but that dang thing was at low altitude. It was not way up at 40,000 feet or something, which a military jet would be. It was probably more along the lines of 22,000 feet, somewhere between that and 25,000, perhaps. It was below, and there was hardly no jet traffic out here at all. I'm not seeing. It's a blue sky day. I don't know if they've had I don't think they've had a ground stop, but the humidity. We're under a dome of high pressure here, so the jet trails do not show when you have a dome of high pressure. So I'm not seeing any planes, though, commercial planes. I don't know.
What about ours?
I haven't heard any lately, but I did notice earlier that they seem to have given the chemtrailers the day off. They weren't spraying today that I could tell. I was looking
at the
this is one of the clear. True, that may have been the reason. That's right. We had a front go through, and this is we're under that high now. That's true.
Yeah, I'm not a meteorologist, but I have noticed that.
Yeah. But with these shear winds that are, you know, all up and down the East Coast, I could see why a lot of people would not be flying through this. I'd hate to be flying in this. Yeah, those pockets are brutal in the weather like this. What else is on your mind, Mike?
Well, I was just going to say, and if you're hearing that there's explosions now in Iran, I'd like to point out that they have constantly hyped this centrifuge thing for 20 years. And the Stuxnet virus was designed to be offline, jumping on thumb drives from computer to computer, and it was targeting those control valves, the digital control valves, which you need for those high-speed aluminum centrifuge tubes. And you may remember over the years they kept saying, oh, Iran has, you know, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 centrifuges. You need a minimum of 20,000 to get to weapons-grade uranium separation, and it would be all over the news if Iran had reached weapons-grade uranium, and they never have. And I think it's because it's being scuttled. So if we did have a nuke on Israel, it would be a false flag. Either that, or it would have to come from somewhere else, China or Russia or some rogue state. I don't know, Pakistan would give them something. But Iran does not have nukes as far as anybody would blatantly report. They're always scaremongering that Iran's going to get nukes, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. I mean, you know, what that I forgot which Islamic Persian leader that it was that said, what would he do with one if he made it? Polish it? Because, I mean, if they used it, they would get nuked to oblivion, you know. That's right. That makes no sense at all. They wouldn't do that. This is all about energy more than anything else. Although, if you have one, though, you know, they don't, that gives you like mutually assured destruction. You see what happens to other people when they give up the possibility. At least Gaddafi and Saddam, they took that out, and you know, so that's why I understand why North Korea won it. Now they've got it, so they have not invaded. You know.
If you could believe what we're told.
To defend your house with, you know, especially. So, yeah. You know, I'm not saying these people are rogue for wanting to defend themselves in the face of all of this empire that's happening, but come on. You know, this is ridiculous. It seems very engineered to me, every bit of it. Go ahead.
Bibi Netanyahu and Ehud Barak have been saying that Iran's 6 months from the bomb since the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just exactly. That constant scare tactic.
It gets very, very old. And so, you know, from what I'm hearing, that this may be a retaliation for a strike that they did on a consulate in Syria. So Israel mm-hmm. is constantly poking the bear. They're the ones popping
the bear. Oh, absolutely.
So they did a strike.
Absolutely. This is not that they were provoked. They attacked Iranian soil. Finally, they've gotten this direct conflict they've been churning for, like you said, it's the 90s. I'm sorry. Let me let you go to our other caller. I didn't mean to blather on.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right, bye.
Have a good weekend. All right, Mr. Producer, we have Mr. Rick in Arizona. Mr. Rick, are you there, sir?
Good afternoon, gents.
Greetings.
Yeah, I'll just make a quick cut. Now, I want to make a quick comment. When I see the dead bodies in this war between Iran and Israel, I'll believe it. Okay, I want to talk quickly about, since OJ died yesterday, I want to just make the comment that in the first 6 months of 1994, you know, it wasn't just OJ Simpson that fell from grace. You know, Arsenio Hall on May 27th was suddenly canceled and never to be seen again on television. And Michael Jackson was accused of being a child molester. So in the first 6 months of 1994, the biggest three names in entertainment at that time were turned into just another N-word. And so when I see and hear everybody believe the same thing, that OJ is guilty of killing his ex-wife, I tend to believe it the other way. I think OJ was framed. And the objective to frame him was to destroy his worldwide popularity. He just came off a 6-year run on The Naked Gun. And I find it hard to believe that he would just throw his life away out of trying to get even with his ex-wife. And, you know, OJ was a smart guy. Not only did he have personality, but he was smart. He already is on record for going over to the house and rattling her cage. So So even if she slipped on a banana peel, he knew he was the number one suspect. I think the Killers of Hollywood did his ex-wife and Ron Goldman in, because if you saw the original crime scene photos, their throats weren't just slit, they were beheaded, like a Tate LaBianca murder. And so I guess I have to see real evidence that OJ did it. And I don't think there was enough evidence in the courtroom. I think I would have acquitted him at the time. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, thanks for calling. Mr. I'm hearing the bumper music. I hope we're still going. So, Mr. Steven, what's your comments on OJ? Did we lose you?
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, sorry. I had to get that boomer mute off. The OJ trial. I remember that in the slow speed Bronco chase. And you're right about Arsenio, old trapezoid face. And he was saying some problematic things, him and Michael Jackson, too. I do remember that now that you mentioned it, right after the riots in L.A. But the N-word, you know, they kept talking about the N-word that they never mentioned. They really never mentioned. They never said the N-word in the O.J. trial. You know the N-word I'm talking about? Nicole. They never talked about that much, you know. It was always about O.J. and that, not this dead, you know, the woman that was murdered. You know, it was all about, it's a big show. It just, it was a psyop at the whole thing to me, because it was on this cable news, never went back. It was tabloid from then on too, you know, and before that, really since baby Jessica fell in the well, but you know, about this time too. But you know, that's my impression of that time and the way it transformed things a lot. Go ahead.
The topper to me was that, you know, his lawyer in the show trial was none other than the amazing Alan Dershowitz and his pill pull magic machine. You know, yeah. So you just see this whole thing as a fiasco to, you know, push an agenda. And of course, it was racial tension here. The jurors were like, you know, this is revenge on from the Rodney King verdicts, right?
Yes.
And that, you know, this was, you know, to get that black white animus going. All right, Mr. Producer, we have Mr. James in Vancouver, please. Mr. James, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am, and I can tell you that on April 22nd, 1994, Richard Milhouse Nixon died. He would have been a good character witness for O.J. because, as you know, Nixon was a big fan. So there's one for you.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. So what they do is it's a situation where you pay us $10 or $20 million of your hard-earned Hollywood dollars, and we'll leave you alone. If you remember Randy Quaid, they squeezed him, and they squeeze Hollywood on a regular basis. So this is something that the fans do not know, but the underbelly of L.A., but what was his name? His brother, Jeff, did a really good movie about how organized crime works in L.A. And it was a very vicious movie called The Driver. You guys see it?
I don't remember that right offhand. Do you remember it, Stephen?
You didn't hear about
Roger
Myerson.
I don't remember that one. I know.
You game theorist. You didn't know Roger Myerson, but oh, it's okay. You got to check out the movie, The Driver. Okay?
Yeah, I will. I will look into that. I do know Jeff Bridges is and Beau Bridges, but I'm not familiar with that one right
there. That was Lloyd Bridges' son. Well, you remember Sea Hunt?
Oh.
I always had to watch Sea Hunt.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I remember Lloyd Bridges.
Bridges.
He was in the Naked Gun there with O.J., yeah.
Yeah, with O.J. Simpson,
yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All righty.
Yep.
And tell me again,
lot,
the game theorist I didn't know about. I need to write
Roger
that down.
Roger Myerson, you didn't know his name, and he's a Nobel laureate. What's going on?
Russell Myers?
Roger Myerson. One of your chicken swinger buddies. Okay.
All right,
I'll talk to you later.
You have a good weekend.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Producer.
Yeah, you too,
Mr. Producer, we have Robert in Ohio. Mr. Robert, are you there, sir? Okay. Can we have Mr. David in California? Try to get to everybody. Now we're running out of time here. So, Mr. David, are you there, sir?
Yes. Hi. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Happy Saturday.
Thank you, too. Arsenio, it was Farrakhan was on there, and then he was off the show right after that. And Farrakhan talked about the slave trade and who was ahead of it. Of course, the NOI, Nation of Islam, has a book called Special Relationship Between Jews and Blacks, and that has to do with the slave trade. That was Arsenio. Candace Owens she's going down a deeper rabbit hole now. She's talking about Michael Jackson and some of these other people that got killed. And there's if you print in Candace Owens on Michael Jackson, it goes pretty deep about who killed it. And Puffy, what's his name? Puffy D, some kind of rapper. He had something to do with security. And
yeah.
She got scared during her, when she was going down. She goes, I think this is the last I need to speak on this. And what was the other person you talked about? There was Arsenio. On the football. What's the name? I can't.
O.J. Simpson. Yeah.
O.J. Simpson. The Spotlight had something years ago, way back, you know, before American Free Press, it was called Spotlight. And they talked about that Goldman owed money for drugs to the Japanese mob in the United States, you know, the like the mafia, whatever, Akuza, I forgot what you call it, Akuza or something.
And
she was at the wrong place. They weren't even trying to hit her, but she was there. And that's one theory. There's other people that, you know, I don't know for sure, but that's all. That's about all I wanted to say to that. But
all right. Well, we're running out of time, so thank you so much for the call. Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener, thank you so much for coming on the show. Going to give you the last word, sir.
Well, thanks for having me, Frederick, and I'll be back tomorrow night with Mike Gaddy on the Rebel and Renegade Roundtable from 9 to 11. And y'all join me next Saturday for Thought Crime Live, and if you're anywhere near Travelers Rest, South Carolina, next Saturday evening, starting about 4 o'clock, they'll be weighing in. I will be at the Dixie Republic at this Strong Arm Contest. It's a great place if you've never been there. And I hope to run into you again one day there too, sir. Thanks for having me once more.
Yeah, I'm hoping to make it down there, especially for some of the summer events they've got scheduled. All right. Well, this has been quite the show. Thanks for all the callers. RBN has the best callers. But you have been listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And please keep your eye on what's going on in Israel and everything, and plan accordingly. And I'd like to thank, you know, Stephen Douglas Whitener for coming on again. Love your show. Love your work and all the, you know, effort you are making to expose the truth.
Remember the USS Liberty, too, y'all.
And USS Liberty. You know, always remember the USS Liberty. All right. Well, we are out of time. So until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act, the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.